Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm your host, Sandy Fowler, and I had a review from Chai Lighter, so I'm not sure who that is, but fun name. And they said, thank you for offering such interesting and informative podcasts to make me feel, quote unquote, on top of things and to make me think. These conversations also give me pertinent, relevant ideas and issues to talk to my teen about. So yes, thank you for saying that. Thank you for the review. And that's exactly it. That's what I want. I want listening to the podcast to be a stepping stone for us in our lives. And listening to it regularly, I think for me, just doing this regularly and talking to these different experts, or when I listen to other podcasts, listening to them regularly helps to keep those ideas front and center. So at Mighty Parenting, it helps us keep our parenting strategy front of mind. And then it supports us in talking to our teens and reminds us that our goal is to raise a happy, emotionally healthy adult who can make choices, follow through, clean up their own messes, and enjoy the rewards of doing all the things that we need to do in our daily lives when we are adulting. So thank you for the review. And remember, Mighty Parents, that you can rate and review the podcast on whatever app you use. You can also share episodes with people. So if there's an episode you love, let your friend know about it. Just tell them to find Mighty Parenting on their favorite podcast app and tell them what number the episode is. That's why we leave numbers in the titles so that makes it easy. And if you have topics you want me to cover or something you want to tell me directly, you can always email me at connect@mightyparenting.com. So I do appreciate when you send in questions. And one of the issues that our Mighty Parenting community has asked about is homework. I know when our child struggles with homework, it can affect the entire household. And as the parent, you may feel like all you do is battle with your teen to get them to do homework. Or if they're struggling, you may be sitting through the homework, sitting side by side, trying to help them with it. And all of that can take an emotional toll, and it can take a toll on your relationship as well. Today's guest knows that. She knows exactly what that's like because she struggled in school. But then she actually ended up graduating valedictorian. She went on to complete her undergraduate and graduate degrees by age 22 and has since become a tutor and has helped dozens of high school, college, and graduate students. Her name is Rachel G, and she is joining us today to give us some insights on why our kids might be struggling and how we can help. So, Rachel, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rachel, the first time I read your bio, I saw the bit about being valedictorian and finishing advanced degrees quickly, but I had to do a double take to catch the bit about that happening after you were failing. What happened there?
Yeah, it's so funny. So yes, I did. In high school, I graduated valedictorian of my high school graduation class. I went on to earn my undergraduate degree at 20. I earned my graduate degree by 22. And so when I tell people that I almost failed every single year of elementary, it is absolutely true. Every single year, not only did I struggle, but I almost failed so many times. I was one of those students that teachers would label me like the troubled student, the one who doesn't pay attention, the one who can't sit still in class. And so my teachers really, really never liked me. It's so true. So even from a very young age, I grew up hating school. I grew up hating my teachers. I grew up hating learning. And it got so bad to the point I got into fifth grade. My fifth grade teacher, I actually didn't hate him. I thought he was a pretty cool guy. And in that year, that teacher came to my parents at the end of the year and he said, look, your daughter is not going to succeed if you send her on to middle school next year. You need to hold her back one more year so she can do this class this year again. Because if you send her on to middle school, she will fail and she will fail miserably. Well, that was the year that my parents completely ignored the teacher's advice. I went on to middle school the very next year. I was really not happy with the fact that someone called me a failure and labeled me a failure. So that was the beginning of me learning that there are tips and tricks that a student like me could learn to do better in school without actually being smarter or without actually liking school.
Love that. I mean, you can hate school and not be the smartest kid in the class and still do well.
Exactly. And so that was just what changed for me, is I just learned a few little tips and tricks to do better in school, to learn better, to learn the way I learn and not the way everyone else in my class learned. And so that was the point in time that things changed. I became my own self-advocate. So I was pretty difficult for my teachers because I was typically the student that would call a teacher out if I thought they were wrong. And this was great for me because, one, I either learned whether I was right or wrong, or two, the teacher learned they were either right or wrong. So this worked both ways. But I ended up going on in my senior year. I graduated valedictorian by far. And so these are the same tips and tricks and lessons that I teach students now as a tutor.
That's really interesting. The idea in there that caught my attention is you said that you learned tips and tricks that help you do better with the way you learn. Can you talk about that idea of the way you learn?
Yeah, so as a tutor and academic mentor right now, I work with so many students. And after working with so many students, I realized that every student that needs help in school all has the exact same thing. It doesn't matter whether they're struggling in math or in English or in history. It really doesn't matter what they're struggling in. They all had something that linked them and connected them. And what connected them was the fact that they didn't have the skills that they needed for school. And when I went into middle school, I realized that these tips and tricks that I learned were actually learning the skills that I needed for school. And so part of that, like you said, learning the way I learn, I had to learn that teachers may not teach according to the way I learn. So that meant that I would have to go home at the end of the day and reteach myself just so that I could learn, which is now what I do with students. I teach them, look, these are the skills you actually need to know. This is how your brain works. This is how you need to study, and not necessarily the way your teacher is teaching you. Because let's be honest, if a teacher's standing up in the, you know, in class, teaching a classroom full of students, they're actually not going to be teaching according to the way maybe your student specifically learns. And so that is one of the reasons so many students struggle. The other reason is that so often I see when students get into high school, they struggle because they don't know these tips, tricks, and skills for school. And why is that? It's because nowhere along the way has our school system actually taught these skills to our students. They just kind of throw them into high school and expect them to do well without teaching them how to do well.
So before we go further into this what, why, how, if I am a parent of a student who isn't getting good grades in school or isn't doing their homework or something like that, how can I tell if this is the problem or if it's just an attitude problem? I mean, how does that play into this?
So from all of the students I've ever worked with, I have noticed that there is the pattern that it's not that they don't know what to do. It's not that they have the attitude that, oh, I don't want to do school. From the most part, all of the students I've ever worked with have wanted to do well. Students want to do well. They want to be the student that gets the A. They want to be able to show their parents, here, look, this is the grade I got. Mom, I want you to be proud of me. The downside is that students just don't know how, because if they knew how to get there, then they would do it, right? And so often what I see is that even for when teachers maybe find a student and they label, oh, that's the lazy student. No, that's not true at all. Maybe that student that got that label just isn't doing the homework, maybe because they don't know how. If they knew that, well, if I put an hour's worth of effort into doing this homework, if I thought I was going to get a good grade, then I actually might do it. But so many times what happens is when a student puts in an hour's worth of effort and they still get back either a zero or an F or whatever the poor grade is, they think, man, why did I just waste all of that time doing that homework or studying for that test when I got the same grade as if I didn't do it? And so many times when we think a student may be being lazy or maybe just isn't trying, it's not that they're lazy or that they're not smarter, that they're not trying. It's only that they don't know how to do well on their own, because they would definitely be putting in the time if they thought the result was going to be worth the effort.
Oh, I like that. So they'll put in the time if the result is worth the effort.
Exactly. And that is the only struggle that students have, is that they just don't know how to put, they don't have those tips and those skills like we talked about where do I start so that I know that my effort will result in a good grade.
Interesting. So what kinds of skills do our kids need that they're not being taught?
So the skills that I'm talking about, most teachers would call study skills, but I think it's even broader than that. I call them academic skills. It's literally the skills that our teens must have in order to do well in school. What kind of skills are those? Specifically, I'm talking about study skills, time management, organization, note-taking. And when I say these, most of the times when we tell these to students, they may be thinking, oh yeah, sure, I've heard those before. I'm sure I have those skills, but self-evaluate. Do they really have these skills? So many times the problem is that they just don't have these basic skills. And the reason our teens are in high school and they don't have these skills is because nowhere in their education in the school system have they ever been taught things as simple and as basic as how to study. I have seen students, literally, I've asked them, you know, if they failed a test, I've asked them, so did you study? And what do you think they say? Absolutely, I studied. I studied for over an hour. And then when I ask them, okay, how did you study? This is the answer I get. Well, I knew that the test was over chapter 5, so I read chapter 5. And after reading a few pages, they close the book and then they go, ta-da, I'm done, I studied. And I'm just thinking, palm to the head, no, that's not studying. But see, here's the thing, is when teachers see a student that failed, they go to that student and say, why did you fail the test? Did you study? What are they going to say? Of course I studied, because they have no clue that that is not studying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm thinking about it, and I don't remember anybody really teaching me how to study. I mean, in a sense, you could say people did, because, you know, one person told you to do this and someone else told you to do that. But you're right. In school, I don't remember any teachers going, okay, this is how you study. I do remember a teacher in junior high commenting on my note-taking, but their only comment was how I was wasting a lot of paper. And they didn't even, for the one area that they were commenting on, because, you know, they tell you, right, you're going to kind of do this as indenting dot points as you're taking notes through a class. And the history teacher be talking, and I'm like 4 dot points in, so I'm only using half of my notebook, but she keeps talking about that area, so I just keep taking notes. And she didn't say, hey, Sandy, if you're in that much detail, you're taking too many notes. She just said, you're wasting paper.
Yep, exactly. Nowhere in the whole system did anyone even teach us to take notes. So many times what happens is maybe a student goes into middle school or high school and they're literally trying to write word for word what the teacher is saying. And to them, they're like, well, I'm trying my best to take notes. And I'm thinking, no, that's not how you do it. But they have no idea how, because no one in the school system is teaching them how.
Right. And I just have to put out here, I have a personal peeve, most definitely at upper levels and absolutely in college. I'm sorry, teachers' overheads should just be available. To me, the point of a class is to be discussing ideas. And we should be able to, or our kids should be able to download those, print them out, have electronic access, and just add commentary to the existing note set. It is ludicrous to me in this day and age for them to be writing everything down, especially when you get into a math or science class, because it's like, well, if you don't write everything down in that formula or that equation, you're toast. And I think that it goes back to partly this, like you said, not the academic world, not thinking outside of the subject matter, not thinking through the, I guess, the more human side of it and what our kids need. So, but I want to back this up again and go back to this point. So if we see that our child isn't doing well in school, or again, they appear apathetic, as a parent, number one, we need to check our assumptions, is what I hear you saying, is that, yeah, they actually do want to do well. So check that assumption and then start kind of becoming a detective and talking to them and trying to figure out which of these key areas they might be lacking in, the study skills, time management, organization, and note-taking. Is right. That kind of the approach?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm kind of imagining this conversation with the 16, 17-year-old who, if they're not doing well, there's a good chance that they've been struggling for a long time. And if it's going on for years, as you yourself know, you start to create stories and attitudes and things to defend and protect yourself. So as you work with students, what kinds of things do you find help bring down those barriers? You know, as a parent, I'm thinking in terms of Mighty Parenting, we're all about conversations with our kids. And I'm kind of going, how can we come at this to let them know we're on their side? We're not just yet again poking at them.
Right. I definitely, it's so tough, especially when you're trying to work with your own teen. And so often I see teens are just so resistant to what their parents recommend, right? Even though I, as a tutor, might tell them the exact same thing as the parent just told them. And when I say it, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. But mom's standing over there saying, I literally just told you the same thing. So what can we as the parent do to help our kiddo? First, I would tell them, look, I know that you're struggling in this area, and I want you to know that it is not your fault. If maybe, because what I see so many times, you mentioned about homework. Homework can be such a topic of friction within the home, and it can really cause a lot of problems for the whole family, like you said. So what I see so many times is students will either, you know, forget to do homework, or lose homework even after they did it, or, you know, just not even do homework because maybe they think it's not that important. We can talk to our teens and say, it's like, look, I understand that you might be struggling with homework. I want to tell you that I'm sorry that I have not been able to teach you how important homework is. I'm sorry I haven't been able to teach you how to keep everything organized so that you don't lose homework, or so that you don't forget that an assignment is due. Can I please show you how to get organized? Or can I please show you a method that might work for you?
Okay, so this conversation, I love this. It's coming from the place of pure support for them, recognizing their struggle, acknowledging their efforts, and taking the blame off of them, and not even essentially placing blame, but giving them that bridge of saying, I'm sorry, I haven't been able to do this. I haven't figured this out. Or I didn't realize that you were never taught this in school. I didn't think about it. I didn't teach you either. And maybe I don't know how to do it, but hey, then, you know, let's figure it out together. I love your idea, Rachel, of being able to say, well, can I show you a method? But I also realize that I don't necessarily know a method, right? So as a parent, I can say, well, let's figure it out together. And then either find suggestions and tips and things to try, or find a tutor, but a tutor who's going to work on these areas. Is that what you recommend?
Exactly. Definitely. Yes. A tutor that will specifically show them, not just tell them, but show them how to get organized, how to manage their time, how to actually study.
And what about kids who have other issues? I mean, well, first of all, for all of them, for the age ranges that we're talking about, because, you know, teens, 20-somethings, tweens, none of them have the executive function skills to really think things through. So that whole time management and organization, those two pieces are absolutely executive functions. So how do we work with that?
I talk all the time about what are the consequences. Like, for example, if a teen doesn't do homework because they feel like, maybe they feel like homework just isn't important because it's busy work, and so they just don't turn it in. I show students specifically, okay, what are the consequences of not turning it in? Are the consequences that you just didn't, you know, waste 20 minutes of your time? No, there's more than just that. How many times have you missed this homework assignment or homework assignments like this in this class? And what does that actually do to your overall grade? And so that helps teens see, oh, wow, this one grade actually matters. No, I don't have to get 100 on every single assignment, but as long as I'm doing my best, and as long as I'm turning everything in and managing it well, then that's all that really needs to be done. And that will actually help them have the skills that they need when they go to college on their own, when mommy and daddy aren't there to help them get all their homework done. Did you get your homework done for tomorrow? Did you study for that test that's coming up next week? They'll be able to have those skills on their own when they're at college on their own.
And I like the very concreteness of that. Look, here's your grade. If you do homework, if you don't do homework, compare these two grades. And we can also talk to them about the idea that doing homework is actually studying for the test. And that if they even don't just do the homework just to push through to get it done, but actually not even necessarily, I was going to say take more time, but it doesn't necessarily take more time so much as shifting our mindset around it from getting homework done to learning this, then that means they can put in less study time for the test, or their study time is amplified and will improve their grades. Would that be true?
Exactly. I literally do what you just said, is I show students, like, look, this is your grade. And so many times if a student is not turning in homework, then they're just going to have most likely an F, because just how much homework grades are weighted for their whole grade. And so I show students, look, if you had turned it in and got this grade, then you would have this right now. But because you didn't turn it in, that is the only reason you have an F. Not because you're not smart, not because you're not hardworking, but because you just didn't turn it in. And so when I work with students, I say the best thing you can actually do for your grade when it's, let's say if the semester is like almost over or the class is, you know, coming to an end, I say the best thing you can do for your grade is ask if you can turn in those missing homework assignments for partial credit. Because even if you get, let's say, 50% instead of the 100, it will dramatically impact your overall grade to be so much better than the F you have. That's number one. Number two, if they put in that work doing the homework, then I tell them, look, if you have put this effort in doing the homework before it was due, why not? And you would have gotten 100. Whether you do the work now or before, you're still doing the same amount of work. So just have them think, you can do this. This work is not hard. You can get it done and turned in on time. And it will so greatly impact your overall grade.
Yeah, it's really kind of the easy points. The easy points for the semester is doing homework. That is not the part that teachers grade really hard. Exactly. They grade the tests much harder than homework.
Exactly. And that's probably why so many students don't focus so much on homework. You know, what I'm trying to say is that so many students will either forget to do homework and not think it's a big problem because it's just homework, right? And, you know, oh, that could have taken me 5 minutes. It's not a big deal. I don't need to write it down because I'll remember to do it later. Well, when they forget to write it down and they forget to do it, then it doesn't get turned in. And they think, well, that's not a big problem. I'll get it next time. And then next time doesn't happen. So it can just kind of be one big cascade of problems, right?
Right. Or the kid, like you said, who does their homework, but they're disorganized. So they lose it or they forget to take it or those things. So again, you said go back to these basic skills. We want to get back to the organization skills.
Exactly.
So that, yeah, you put in this time and this effort. So let's build a skill set that lets you actually take advantage of what you've already done and not miss out on that. And then we're talking a lot here about the homework piece of it. What about the kids who don't learn the way the teacher is teaching?
Yeah, so that's something I definitely love teaching a lot. That's what I call, of course, it's learning styles, right? So often students that are in high school do not even know what learning style they have. And when I talk to them, I say, okay, so you're trying this. Do you know what your learning style is? And they look at me with this big question mark on their face and they go, what are you talking about? So part of the reason that they might be struggling in that class is, for example, let's say a student might be a visual learner, but the teacher only stands up and talks the whole class time in front of the classroom, and that's the only way they teach. Well, the visual learner is not going to do well in that class. They just won't, because if that's the only way they're trying to learn, it's not the way they learn. It's not the way their brain works. In contrast to that, if a student is an audio learner, so they learn by hearing. Well, if they're sitting in math class and all of the equations are written on the board, they're going to be lost too, because they're audio learners. They learn by hearing. And so they may struggle in a math class just because there's just so many numbers written on a board, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do if we see, wow, that if I hear this and I know exactly that's my kid, I know that they're struggling with that. What can we do to help our kids if that is their area? If they're just not learning in a classroom because the teacher is not teaching according to their learning style. Number one, first and foremost, is you've got to figure out which learning style is your team. So I definitely teach the top four. If anyone has ever heard of a VARC questionnaire, go Google it, go find a good one and have your kid take this. It's just a little quiz to tell you what their learning style is and use that to find out the best way that their brain works, because that is what they need to be focused on. And not, for example, if I am the visual learner sitting in a class with a teacher talking 100 words a minute, I'm just not going to learn. And for that student, that's why it's really important for them to take good notes.
So you said a VARC questionnaire. Can you spell that?
Yes, sorry. It's VARC, V-A-R-K, and it's an acronym. V is visual. A is auditory, so audible, when they hear things. R is actually read-write. And so I want everybody to know, read-write is totally different from visual. If you thought, totally, my kid's visual, well, maybe they're not. They might be read-write. Those are two different things. And then last is K, kinesthetic, and that just means learning with hands-on experiential learning. And the downside is so much of high school is not hands-on learning. It's just not. And so if your student, their learning style is the K, kinesthetic, hands-on experiential learning, if that's their number one, they are going to struggle because so much of classroom learning is not hands-on. They just expect you just to sit and listen and take notes and learn, and that's just going to be a struggle. So when you have your teen or your student take this VARC questionnaire, find out not only what their primary learning style is, but also their secondary. Because if their primary is this hands-on, then they are going to need to be dependent upon their secondary learning style, whatever it is.
I didn't even realize we had a secondary. I mean, common sense says we would. And as I think about myself, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see that. But I love that there is one and that they can fall back on it. Because as you said, yes, they will still struggle. This doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but at least it gives them a fighting chance. The other interesting piece to that is by going through this process, they'll know themselves. So whatever they decide to do post-secondary, they'll be able to go into it. If they're doing, you know, a job or a trade school or an apprenticeship program or college, they'll be able to go into it going, look, I know my grades aren't great because I'm a kinesthetic learner. I know this about myself. So I had to rely on, you know, whatever, my secondary. And to be able to go in and talk about that and speak about it, I think is going to be very impressive to anybody who would be reading their essay or interviewing them or reading an application or whatever. So I think that process helps to set them up for success as well.
Definitely, definitely. That's what I tell parents all the time is these are not just school skills. These are learning skills. Learning is a lifelong habit. We will never stop learning. Whether they go to college and need these skills, they'll need these skills at college. Whether they go to any other type of trade school or any other learning, they will need these skills for learning. When they go to their first job, they're going to have on-the-job, on-site training. They're going to need to learn how to learn so that they can do well on their first job or their second job or their third job or however many they have. They have to have these skills to do well throughout the rest of their lives. So that's why I definitely emphasize these, not just for success for this class that they're struggling in, not just success for this semester or this quarter or whatever they're doing right now. This is for their success for their future.
Yeah. And also this is all going to help their self-esteem, because when you struggle in school and this is where you're spending most of your day and the world is looking at your academic performance, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of frustration. It really impacts our kids. My husband is a math tutor, and your idea of talking to kids about, you know, yeah, you just don't learn the way the teacher's teaching. I know he talks to kids and he'll be like, okay, so it's like, you know, you ordered potatoes, cooked potatoes in a restaurant, and somebody brought you French fries. And you're like, I don't like French fries. I like mashed potatoes. It's not good or bad. French fries aren't better than mash. Mashed aren't better than French fries. They're just different ways of baking a potato. It's like, we're going to find how you need to cook your potatoes.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I tell students all the time when I work with them on these learning styles. I tell them, look, whatever your learning style, it's not any better or worse than any other kid in your class. They're all the same. Everybody has an equal advantage. So many times I'll have a student that says, well, I'm a visual learner. I am not an audio learner. Those audio learners that sit in class and hear the teacher talk, they must have it so easy because they can just sit and learn. And I tell them, no, that's not the right way to think about it, because if someone gives you notes, you're able to learn from those notes better than someone who's an audio learner. So everybody just needs to learn the special techniques to help their brain learn. None of them are better or worse than the other. We just have to figure out the right learning style for our kids.
Okay, so when we were talking, you said the first thing we need to do was figure out our teen's learning style. Was there a second thing we need to do?
Other than talking about all of the skills that we definitely need to teach them for doing well in school.
Okay, so one is the learning style, and two is shore up the time management organization.
Definitely, I would put organization definitely at the top, only because organization affects every other area that you're going to work with your team. Organization affects homework, it affects test taking, because if you can't find your notes to study for your test, then you're not going to do well on your test. Organization affects whether you've got a big project going on that they need to turn in. So organization can just really impact. Let me say, it's the simplest step to have the greatest impact. And so that is definitely where I would start, is teaching my kid good organization, creating what I call an organization system, having folders and binders so that everything that they have has a place so that nothing will ever get lost again.
Okay, great. Well, and Rachel, we will put a link to you on the website as well as, you know, notes on this. So we'll have VARC spelled out there for people. But would you share your website for anybody who wants to learn more from you?
Yes, you can find me at theexperiencedgraduate.com.
Great. Thank you for joining us today, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
And mighty parents, thank you for being here. If you like the podcast, then please rate, review, and share it. Also remember to visit mightyparenting.com and grab the free email series that we have for you on how to talk to your teen. You'll also find some mighty parenting gear and more on the site. Thank you so much for joining us today and being part of the mighty parenting community. Remember that you are a mighty parent, so you got this. And I will see you next week.